Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that Thou hast sent messengers with Thy word into the whole wide world, that Thou hast taken the gospel to the children of men and shown them what Thou art ready and willing to do, and calling upon them, hast called them to put their trust in Thee, that they might receive from Thee the benefits of Thy grace and mercy. We thank Thee for it. We pray now in our study that Thou wilt, by Thy Holy Spirit, take the things of the Lord Jesus Christ in Thy word and show them unto us. For His name's sake we ask it. Amen. We're continuing our study in the Gospel of Matthew now in the 10th chapter, and we come in the first 15 verses of this part of Scripture to what I would call the call of the apostles, or the call and the commission of the apostles. And we're going to see that the Lord Jesus Christ, out of the total number of disciples, called some persons to serve Him in a special way. We're going to get used to the difference between the word disciple and the word apostle. The word disciple refers to anybody who is a learner, who listens, who enrolls, as it were, to study and to learn. Now, the apostle is a man who is a servant, who is sent out with a message, and is a messenger, something like a missionary. A disciple would be like an inquirer, someone who comes to learn, but an apostle would be like a missionary, someone who goes to tell. Now, he gets his apostles from his disciples. Of all the people who come to listen, he chooses some to go and tell. So here we find in the 10th chapter of Matthew, and in the first verse, when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. When he had called unto him his 12 disciples, notice this is the first thing he does, is establish a personal relationship with him. If anyone is ever going to be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, he must first of all be in fellowship with him. He must be in communion with him. Personal relationship with Christ Jesus himself is primary. He called unto him his 12 disciples. They belonged to him. And then he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and heal all manner of sickness and disease. I want you to notice at this point that he gave these apostles power to effect the promises of God, to bring the saving operation of God into actual performance. You might say, what am I emphasizing? He isn't telling them to teach. He isn't telling them to approach people who don't know. He is telling them to go to people who have some knowledge of the things of the gospel and bring the significance of it into performance, actually bring it into activation. This comes out even more closely as we go along. But now let us look at the next verses, verses 2 to 4, and then we will see that these apostles are individually listed. You'll notice that in verses 2 and 3, this is in the 10th chapter of Matthew, that the names of the 12 apostles are spelled out here before us. One after another, the first Simon was called Peter, and then down through the list, finishing up with Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. Each one is individually listed by name. This is true of anybody who goes to serve the Lord. It makes any difference to me what your service would be, whether it be a public service like a minister, or like an elder or deacon, or like a Sunday school teacher, or like some worker in the woman's work, or a young people's worker, or perhaps a friend, or perhaps a parent, a mother, a father, or perhaps a brother or sister. In any case, in any way, that you are ever given any commission to do something for the Lord Jesus Christ, you can have this in mind. He knows you individually by name. Nobody ever goes along to be one of a ten and just don't count. You're just one of ten. You won't go along like that. You'll go along in yourself. There may be nine other people, but you yourself have a relationship with him. Serving the Lord is personal and individual. Notice that this included Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. And I think what I want to say at this point is, being called to share in the ministry does not guarantee that I will always be faithful. You see, when the Lord calls me and gives me a commission, that's His grace. When I respond to it and am faithful to the commission, that's my response, and it's my faithfulness. The obedience of the servants of the Lord is not automatic. Just because the Lord calls me doesn't mean I'm going to be faithful. And it should never be taken for granted. It should never be assumed. For instance, I am called, we will say, to be a minister of the gospel. I want to get one thing into my mind right now. Just because I respond to the call, and because the call was very real and genuine, and I was actually called to be the minister of the gospel, does not mean that I can assume that anything I do is serving the Lord. It doesn't mean that because I walk into the pulpit to preach, that I can preach anything and do it as unto the Lord. Not at all. Just because I'm given the opportunity is no guarantee that I will be faithful. Judas Iscariot was among the 12. Now look in verses 5 and 6, and here is a very interesting thing. They were told not to go in the way of the Gentiles into any city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. This comes back to what I mentioned earlier. In what way would Israel differ from the Gentiles or from the Samaritans, except it be in this? Israel had the oracles of God. They had the scriptures. They had the promises of God. Now, what Israel lacked at this time was the operation of the promises. The promises were not effectually operating in them, but they had them. Now, the Gentiles and Samaritans, they didn't know the promises. They would need to be taught the promises of God. And when we come to see the Great Commission at the end of the book of Matthew, we'll find out that when you go out and make disciples of all nations, you teach them all things that I have commanded you. Now, this was going to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. They already had the scriptures, but what they did not have was the effectiveness of the operation. Now, notice again what they were called to do. They were given power to cast out unclean spirits, power to heal all manner of sickness and disease. Now, these things were in the promises, but the promises weren't actual. They were not being activated. It was not actually operative in the people. And this is done by the ministry of certain persons who come in the Lord to lead the people into it. In other words, as you will notice in verses 7 and 8, when you come down in this chapter and look at verses 7 and 8, you've got revival preaching. As you go, preach, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand." It's available for you right now. You could have God's will operating in your heart. Who are you? You who know the Word, who know the Scriptures, who know the promises of God. These things could be effective in you. So he said to them, "Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give." This is revival preaching. What you know about, what you have heard about, is now available. You can have it operative in you. The operation of the will and of the power of God in the lives of the people is advanced by men who act as the servants of the Lord and preach as apostles. Bringing to activity in the hearer, in the believer, the promises of God. And this is what he wanted them to do. Notice again the limited assignment he gave them. Go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Who's in the house of Israel? People who have the Old Testament scriptures. People who belong to God because of the promise of God to Abraham. They've accepted that. They've been circumcised in this faith. They belong to the people that call themselves the people of God. What's lacking? The will of God is not being done. And this can be brought to pass and made to become operative by the activity of these ministers of the gospel who are serving in the power that the Lord Jesus Christ gives them. And this seems to mean that individuals will receive from the Lord in themselves that gift of the grace of God, which will enable them so to preach that as they preach, others will be delivered from bondage and set free in their spirits to serve the Lord. This is the kind of preaching that these people were to do. Now in verses 9 to 15, we have an interesting thing. People who know the promises and who are now to receive them as operative must support this kind of preaching. Notice to this, provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, but it'll cost, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, but you need things. The workman is worthy of his hire, of his meat, and into whatsoever city or town you shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till you go thence. Find out who has the scriptures. Find out who knows something of the gospel. Go to those people and preach the activation of these things. Preach to them that these can actually be operative. When you come into a house, salute it. If the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you nor hear your words, that whosoever knows the scriptures but doesn't want to see them operative, knows the promises of God but doesn't want to yield to him, when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust off your feet. And by the way, for those of you who are listening, this will help you to understand our request and appeal that you help to support this program. Because really, so far as you are concerned, if you want to share, if you want to have it in operation in your soul, you must participate. You must share in it, really and truly, as you support the program, give to it, you can expect actually to receive operative in you the promises of God. Our God and Heavenly Father, add thy blessing to our hearts that we may understand these things. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.